Hello and welcome back to the Audio DT with Reb T, the Audio Devar Torah with Reb T, the show where we try to give an audio burst on the Parsha of the week with some practical lessons to keep. And when I say burst, we've recently changed it that instead of giving a whole drasha, we're going to condense it to hopefully around 10 to 15 minutes to give you some food for thought on the Parsha as we continue forward. So we've come to the next book of the Torah. We've come to Bamidbar. We talked about Bamidbar last time. This time, God willing, we're talking about Nusso. What does Nusso mean? To carry or to count those around you. And it has different topics, interesting topics in the Parsha, always interesting stuff in the Parsha. But when we think about who's counted, think about who we count, we think about who can be carried and who can really carry the load. It's someone who could look at the people around them, someone who could look at everything going around them and actually learn lessons from those around them. That's why the famous two things in this parsha are the sota, the isha sota, the woman suspected of not staying true to her husband, and then the parsha right after that, the topic right after that really, is that of the Nazir. And the question is, why are those two topics put one next to the other? Why are those two juxtaposed? It's not my question. It's Rashi's question, Rav Shlomo Yitzchaki, many years ago, much greater than any of us, really, but really much greater than me for sure, on many levels, lahavdil levels. But before we talk about that, I want to point out something interesting. The pasuk we're going to talk about, a lot of times we talk about a phrase or a word or a pasuk itself. This pasuk that caught my eye this week, again, sources from Chabad.org, the pasuk that reaches me is that of 613. Why is that number so special? Obviously, we all learn since we're little children, 613 is Taryag, the amount of mitzvos we have in the Torah. Of course, there are many intricacies on many of the mitzvos, many fine details, many fine nuances within all the mitzvos, but overall, technically, there's really 613 mitzvos, 610 were taught to us from Moshe, were taught, and two came directly from the Pea of Hashem, but the people couldn't handle it at the time, and Moshe took over, teaching them everything, and then, of course, the Torah Shabbal Peh, expounding on everything and bringing us what we know and practice as we see in the Shulchan Aruch and the commentators and the Mefarshim in general. But that of 613, isn't it interesting when we're thinking about the different topics in Nusso and the different topics of the Torah, especially in this week's Parsha of looking at the Sota and then looking at the Nazir, thinking about people that either are majorly suspected in one area or people that are majorly abstaining in another area. We know the Nazir is not allowed to be involved in getting tamei, not allowed to touch corpses. Even his own family, I believe, can't really be involved in, can't have any grape products or wine, abstaining from things. In general, when you abstain from something that's mutter for yourself, it's not always the best thing to do. You know, Hashem gives you that which mutter, and He says that's with aser. If you're going to aser that which is mutter, a lot of time the sources sometimes say, you might end up coming to, God forbid, being make mutter, that's what's prohibited for you. So you just take what's permitted for you and go with it in the realm of law, the proper way, especially in all aspects, you know, in dealing with families and dealing with the spouses and dealing with what we're allowed to eat, what we're not allowed to eat, what we're allowed to drink and not. Just deal with what we're allowed to and go from there. You know, you don't have to covet the food and the drink from McDonald's. Just make a kosher version of it for yourself. We see this time and again how in the actual thinking of things, in the actual thinking of how we go about things, you can figure out how to do it in a Jewish way. Instead of coveting the non-Jewish novels, just make Jewish novels, which is a huge thing we found a couple of years ago, and it really hits the spot for me and my wife when reading, and I love to get engrossed in a book. We're going to talk about it again in my OT show. But when I get involved in a book, I love being pulled into a storyline, and I felt like that's what used to happen in the non-Jewish books. But thank God there's a Jewish alternative. There's so many non-Jewish tunes that I hear, you know, when walking to and from work in the years past, or just walking around, people blasting. I'm like, that's a really cool tune, but I don't want the words. I don't want the lyrics. So I love when a Jewish band takes a non-Jewish song and makes it Jewish, like 613 or AKA Pella or Maccabees or the Y Studs or Sheer Soul. When they take it, and they could, to name a few, there are many more out there, I love when they take a song, like the Star Wars theme. I always loved it, but it's not really a Jewish thing. So what did the 613 do? They took it, they made it Jewish. All the Lion King songs are awesome. They took it, they make it Jewish. You take something, you make it Jewish. You think about what's around you, and you look and you learn from it, and you make it permitted in a Jewish way. Think about all the stores, even in Israel and even in America, they figure out how to do it. You think about all these awesome stores, and they figured out how to bring it home. Italian pizza made into kosher pizza. A cheeseburger made into the I forget what it's called already, but the burger, we love it so much. It's the Beyond Burger, for example, or the imitation cheeseburger, where it's fake meat, plant-based meat, but it tastes amazing like a real burger. Or you take fake cheese and put it on the real burger. And of course, you tell people, you make it that it's not Mar Sinai or the like, but we make something permitted for ourselves in the Jewish way. Same thing with Jewish music, same thing with Jewish novels. And I love when there's a Jewish spin, a great show made into a Jewish way. So Netflix has tons of things, but they actually have Shtisel, which is, I think, a wonderful thing. It's a portrayal of the Haredim lifestyle, and it takes, obviously they're speaking in Hebrew, which probably in real life they don't do that, but in general, that's taking something and making it into a permitted outlet. And I love when the Jewish people, different Jewish producers and whatnot, actually produce a real Jewish movie with drama, intense, and intrigue and action. That's so cool. And there's actually a movie we're waiting to watch till we finish the book from Rabbi Seltzer, which I thought is amazing. I love when they do that. So cool. And a Jewish musical. We watched Yosef the Musical a couple of months ago. We used to love going to musicals growing up. And my wife and I went to one maybe in the past. But now there's a Jewish version, all male singers. And it was a wonderful experience. Taking what's permitted for you and running with it. That's what we should be doing. But when the Sota is suspected in one way and the Nazir abstains in another way from what's permitted, that's not always the best thing. We got to take in our life what's permitted and run with it in a kosher, good way. You think about all the non-kosher wines and the Jewish people, the Orthodox lifestyle figures out how to make it, the Israeli wine, the Jewish wine, and making it delicious. Thinking about non-alcoholic drinks, we talk about it in one of my episodes on OT, and running with it. That's why I love the sparkling grape juice. Taking a non-alcoholic drink, I can't have a lot of the ones made in non-Jewish culture because it's not kosher. But making it Jewish, making it kosher by taking the Kedem sparkling grape juice that hits the spot for me on Shabbos and Yom Tov. I'm like, there's nothing more refreshing than after getting ready for Shabbos and Yom Tov, opening up and pouring for Kiddush and having that first taste of the sparkling grape juice, and it tastes wonderful. We also found actually a Jewish version of a non-alcoholic sparkly drink called M-I-N-G-L-E, Mingle, which is actually delicious, O-U, but that's another way of going about things. Thinking about looking at those around us, thinking about how to be involved in the 613 in all aspects, making sure to realize. And when we think about 613, we think about the tzitzis, because we look at the tzitzis, and it's alluded to 613, because the word tzitzis equals 600, and then the knots and the strings, 5 and 8, are supposed to add up to 13, 613. It's supposed to remind us of all the mitzvahs in the Torah and of Hashem. And the techeles, we should be zocheh to have real techeles again today, when Mashiach and the Beis HaMikdash should speedily be built today. The Tcheles is supposed to remind you of the ocean and of the sky and of Hashem. That's the blue, and that's why I like having my Tcheles blue during the weekday. It's supposed to remind us of the ocean, and it's supposed to remind us of the sky. It's supposed to remind us of Hashem. Blue in general is a color I very much identify in general. My brother, Lev Shalom, also loved blue. But that's a thing to think about, how we could think about the Pasuk itself is 613. So what is in this Pasuk in 613 in Naso? Vav Yud Gimel. Vizos Torah Nazir b'yom belos yemein Israel. This is the law of the Nazir, and the day that the day of his abstention are complete. After he's done with his Nazir situation, after he's done with that, he comes and has to do what? He has to bring a carbon, basically, and a whole process he's involved. The question is, as we started with, what is the connection to this in the previous sedra, the previous topic, that of the Sota? Rashi picks up on this many centuries ago. Why does the Torah section dealing with the laws of the Nazir follow immediately after the section dealing with the laws of the Sota? To tell you that whoever sees a Sota's ruin should forswear wine. You're supposed to learn from those situations around you. You're supposed to learn from those around you. If you see this woman suspected of not being good to her husband, of being with another man, you're supposed to learn from that and realize what to avoid. A lot of time, wine, alcohol brings lots of problems, brings lots of issues, not only health-wise and internally, but externally, it doesn't really bring such good situations, such good behavior. They talk about how when yetze yayin, yetze sod, when somebody brings in wine, the Gemara talks about, I believe, secrets come out, secrets that people are not supposed to know about. People are not supposed to hear secrets about others, secrets about yourself, secrets about the world. Not good things to be mentioning, to be talking about with other people. And when wine comes, and they say you can see three real aspects of a person, how, biyayin, bikos, bikiso, and bikaso, the Gemara talks about. Three things show a person's true nature: how he acts when he's angry, how he acts when he drinks, and how he acts, which is his kos, his cup, and how he acts with his kiss, with his wallet. How is he generous or not? So two of them I can relate to. If I get upset or frustrated or upset or angry, I'm not in my best mannerism, not in my best... time of life, of the day, something to work on for years and years and years. Try to be very generous. I can't really speak to the kos, because we, as a rule, we don't do alcohol, even on Purim, even on Pesach. We do our sparkling, and we keep it zehu. But in general, those are three things the Gemara talks about. So it's not something that we should really be involved in. And wine could cause a lot of trouble. You know, if there are wine at parties, wine at meals, could be a lot of trouble, a lot of mingling and whatnot. Really not a good thing to have, so it should really be to avoid it to begin with. So he really should abstain from those things. But he brings a carbon because it's not always best to abstain from that which is permitted. You know, he can't bury people, he can't be involved in Tumah, he can't be part of the Chevra Kadisha when he's a Nazir. That's a really big mitzvah. I can't do it. Many people can do it, and many people, I majorly laud them and praise them for doing such wonderful things. So why is it there? He should have learned from the Sota and should have gone away from the wine. Chabad.org also points out, besides for the source of Rashi that's in the Chumash, of course, an interesting story. Once in the early days of Hasidim, a learned Jew happened upon a Fabrengen, a Hasidic gathering, which, of course, is associated with drinking and the like. Maybe there are other types of Fabrengen. My type of Fabrengen would be a lot of sparkling grape juice. Taking in the sight of half-empty vodka bottles on the table, of Jews singing and dancing instead of studying Torah, he cried, "Jews, the holy temple is in ruins. Israel is in exile, and you dance and drink?" Present at the Fabrengen was Rabbi David Porkus, a senior disciple of the Baal Shem Tov. "I have a question for you," said Rabbi David to the visitor. "In one place, Rashi writes that a Nazir's vow to abstain from wine is an appropriate reaction for one who witnesses human susceptibility to corruption by physical appetites. But only a few verses later, Rashi quotes the Talmudic opinion which regards the Nazir's abstinence as a sin. Which is it? Is it drinking wine a positive or a negative thing to do?" And that's what we're talking about. You're supposed to avoid things that are cause trouble, but you're not supposed to avoid things that are permitted to you. So what is it? So of course, in everything, as the Rambam points out, there always has to be a middle ground. You can't go crazy to one way or crazy the other way. Don't overstuff yourself, but don't not eat at all. Go the middle ground, to satiation. Except for anger and arrogance, which have to be avoided at all costs. So the answer, Rabbi David said, is, I'll tell you the difference between the two cases. The first statement by Rashi is addressed to one who sees a sota's ruin. A person who is capable of seeing the negative in a fellow Jew had better not drink wine. Wine will agitate his heart. He'll probably be roused to discover more failings and deficiencies in his fellows. But someone who is blessed with the ability to only see good in his fellow, which is a wonderful thing, Ezehu Chacham Halomein Mikol Adam, Pirkei Avos teaches us, everyone who learns from someone else, sees good in someone else, that's the thing to do. For him to avoid getting together with other Jews for L'chaim is nothing less than sinful. An infusion of wine into his heart will stimulate it to uncover the hidden good in the hearts of the fellows. Pointed out from Rishima Devarim in the sources from Chabad. Again, I'm not going to tell you which way to go. I myself do not. I find very many other ways in order to infuse gladness and song into my heart. Actually, with using a guitar, which is the next topic in the lecture series coming up very soon on May 20th, tomorrow, talking about the might of music, talking about how music is so essential in life. That, for me, is a major element to infuse happiness. I don't need the external of a drink. I don't need the external of alcohol to make me misameach. I just need some good food, good company of the wife and children, some good sparkling grape juice, and some good songs. That's how I really get into Shabbos and Yom Tov. And during the week, even before Shabbos, a lot of times I'll play guitar for the kids, for my wife, for myself. That's how I really can be in touch with my soul and my spiritual self. But in general, we learn from this parsha, we look at about the 613, we think about the mitzvahs, we think about the tzitzis, we think about those elements around us, how to take things and make it into a kosher aspect, which we talk about a lot on all of my shows, and we talk about how to infuse things in the kosher Jewish way. Israeli innovations, when I was in Israel for studying 2 years in yeshiva, I always felt like the dairy there was actually better. I felt like the spirit of the land of Hashem was in the food, in the dairy. You know, Tanuva and the other companies there, I feel like they know what they're doing. Eretz Zavat Chalav Udavash, they know what they're doing because the land is full of milk and honey. And they know how to infuse things. They know how to make the olive oil there, mamash. They know how to make the wine there. Any way, any aspect we can do in a Jewish way to take things we might see in culture and make it in kosher, make it permitted. Lessons we can learn from seeing the Sotah, from seeing the Nazir, see what not to do, see what to do, see to make sure to make things around us permitted in the proper way, to do things in the right way, and understanding how to infuse things in our own life. Join us next time as we talk a little audio burst on the Parsha of the Week with practical lessons to keep here on the Audio DT with Reb T. And I'm your host, Reb T.